Okay, we're here in the green room from Rated Oz Radio here in Brisbane, Australia. And I've got a very special guest with me tonight, Mr. Rick Szabo of Q Live Entertainment, who's a wonderful promoter and a combination of a tour manager, a musician himself, and I suppose an acting agent in a sense, or how would you describe?
Oh, you know, I've got many strings to the bow, Mary Lou. but yeah, acting, you know, I suppose we have booked actors before as well. So yeah, we work with talent, but it's a pleasure to be here. Very, very pleased to have this time with you tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us. So, Rick, as a promoter, what I understand promoters do in their role in the music industry, typically some are hired as an independent contractor by music venues and artists, which earn an agreed fee or certain royalties like admissions on the door for food and drink sales. There might be also royalty arrangements such as a minimum or maximum allowance for various expenses, or any limitations there for what you can spend?
Well, way for me to answer the question is I'm an entertainment promoter.
Okay.
So entertainment has many different wide and varied fields. Mm-hmm. Predominantly it's music, but certainly we've worked with children's acts to opera stars to stars of stage and screen, all sorts of people. But being a promoter is about promoting the talent to the maximum potential. And if there's somebody out there with talent, well, then they engage my services, either they themselves, their management, their label, or their agents engage me to promote them, because that's what I do. And they need to be promoted.
Yes.
And it's a fine art form. It has its moments, like everything. But it's not even 2 days are the same. 2 hours are not the same.
Wow.
So there you go.
Very, very busy. So you're more of an independent promoter?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yeah, so independent all the way, which is getting harder and harder these days, I can assure you.
So do you sort of work, rent venues themselves for a fixed fee, or do you work under a revenue sharing an arrangement with the building owner or the tenants?
It varies. In the simplest way and form to put it to you is we work with all types of venues from little 100 to 200 seaters right up to 5,000 seaters and bigger. Essentially, we define the right venue for the artist. That's what it's all about to begin with. And then, you know, we can book enough venues, it becomes a tour. But if we talk about venue specific, it's effectively finding the right venue for that artist. There's many times that I see, and you will see in the general public, that you'll see an artist playing at a venue and it all makes sense for that artist to play at that venue. For the Tivoli, for our argument's sake, in Brisbane, you see specific acts play the Tivoli because that's where people like to go and see those artists.
Yes.
And what we do is everything for them, the venue, negotiating all the ticketing, then doing the venue hire, all their backstage catering, their riders, so to speak, then all their production requirements, then all their logistics from flights, accommodation, ground transport to freight, all their fuel and tolls.
Wow.
Security. Absolutely everything associated right before it's on stage.
Wow.
That's what we do.
Okay. So do you provide security or maybe?
Effectively, look, you know, in terms of security, we will work with the venue because the venue laws govern the security that you need these days.
Yes, yeah.
So we work with the venue and hire the appropriate security, but yes, effectively we pay for it, yes.
Yeah. So do you ever work with other promoters, like for a really big special event per se?
I haven't because I'm fairly specialised in what I do, and I wouldn't, there's no need to work with another promoter to it.
I've noticed in the past you did a big thing with McManus Entertainment back in 2012. Would that be Rove McManus?
No, that's a gentleman called Andrew McManus.
Andrew McManus.
Yep, he engaged my services because I'm based here in Queensland and I know my state extremely well.
Yes.
And he works at a very, very high international level, and there was an opportunity to bring KISS with Motley Crue and Thin Lizzy for a regional date in Queensland.
Yes.
And he asked me to source and secure, so I basically managed the event like it was my own.
Yeah.
And it ended up winning that year. It won the best regional event in Australia, actually, that year. So it went very, very well for everybody.
Wow, that's fantastic. So how were...
I even got a pat on the back from June and Paul and got to meet Shannon Tweed and got pictures with them and got pictures with Beth Steele. It was a really good thing. And, from a business level and a professional level, we ticked all the boxes for him and made him very happy.
Yes.
And made the bands happy. I think if I can tell you, just one of the real bonuses to do what we do is there was a very tragic murder that occurred in the Mackay region a year prior where a girl was killed.
Oh.
And they still hadn't found the murderer yet, to my understanding. Her name was Shandy, and Shandy, as people might know, was a huge hit single for Kiss many years ago. And through the powers of our persuasion, we managed to convey our thoughts to Kiss's publicity team in the States, and they saw it upon themselves to make special mention of it on the night and actually performed the song acoustically for Jenkins and Paul Stanley, and her parents were in the crowd.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it was a momentous night. It made you feel real good to be here. So.
Yeah, wow. And it would have been such a healing, just such a special thing for her memory and what's happened.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that the power that you possess is used for good things and it was just a hell of a thing to do.
Yeah, wow. And that's why it only went to that one region, because...
It's such a big show that it could only sustain one regional show in Queensland. And, he asked me where we should go, and I told him we should go to Mackay and never look back.
Yeah.
Previously to that, we'd done Guns N' Roses and Korn up in Townsville.
Wow.
That went well, but it's a lot further to go, and there was a lot more costs involved.
Sure.
We achieved a much better result in Mackay that night. So, ticked all the boxes.
Wow. Oh, that would have been amazing. I'm sure people would have travelled there if they could have, just for that event.
It was a very proud moment.
I also noticed recently, now you got the Best of the Eagles tour. Are you using Colin Baxter from the Harbour Agency
we've engaged the Harbour Agency. They're our agent down there for all my shows that we produce. So that's part of our business as well, as we source talent and come up with concepts and ideas, and then source talent to perform the music and the show that we've written and produce and take them all over the country.
Yeah, well, you're going right through till August already.
Indeed.
Yeah, that would be fantastic, and especially...
Yeah, we've got a few shows on the road.
Yeah, so especially with the recent passing of the wonderful Glenn Frey from the Eagles.
Yes,
so.
that was quite a shock to the whole world,
as was
many others that we've seen recently. But
yes,
we were actually already on sale and announced our tour before Glenn Frey passed, which was really sad.
Yes, very sad indeed. Well, I'm sure it'll draw a lot of people, and, they were
It's going over very well.
Yeah, they were such a fan. They still are. I hope they still continue.
Absolutely. But I don't think we'll see them again, though.
I hope not. They're one of my favourite.
I don't think
bands.
We'll ever see the Eagles again. So.
Anyway, you never know. They might do a special thing to come back to keep us happy.
You never know.
So looking at the model of your business, so you're the director. So you
correct.
Also have, your tour coordinator and your publicity marketing fellow. Now, they're part of your team.
That's correct.
Then you have the administration side. Do you, for legal purposes and, all the laws, do you rely on the venues for that, or do you have certain music lawyers in place to...
No, we have everything covered ourselves. We're fully registered with the Australian Performing Rights Association, and we have all the relevant insurances in place to cover everybody that work for us every year. So.
Okay. And that's So that's the artists, the management have their own, or that's all just tied in So,
the actually have their own insurances these days, and most of them should, and public liabilities and so forth. So, but it's always, I don't think you can have enough cover these days, just in case anything goes wrong.
Yes, that's true, because there are always those freak things that happen.
Most definitely, as we've seen.
Yes, yes. You also used to do live theatre productions, more for the music theatre, which was...
Yeah, no, we dabbled in that a few years back. An opportunity came my way, and we were fortunate enough to submit an offer for Buddy the Buddy Holly story to Tour Australia in 2009, which would have been the 50th anniversary of his passing.
Oh, right.
And, that was a wonderful theatre tour. In the early stages, we did... 8 shows a week all around Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide and Brisbane. So it was a very, very solid tour that I got helped get off the ground and stayed for the first few months, but then moved on.
Okay. So,
it was good. Very, another thing that we learned. So very impressive.
Yeah. How do you structure your tours and events? So, like, are some recycled through the year? Do they just come in? Do you work with a certain group of people that need a bit more micromanagement, or
The years you develop relationships with certain agents and managers and labels, and you tend to get a lot of work. I guess a point to make here is I've never advertised once in my life. I don't have to advertise.
Yes, I know.
So my entire business is based on reputation and word of mouth.
Yes,
and that's been a good thing. In terms of the structure that we have in place is there for the reasons that it needs to be to promote a tour or an artist well.
Yes.
So it's all about selling tickets.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
Mm.
It's about selling tickets, nothing else. The business doesn't exist unless you're selling tickets.
That's true.
So I'm not a fan of free admission events. I never have been. If the value is the artist, usually probably does more disservice to the artist than service. And certainly doesn't do you any favours. But the model that we have, like I said, is in place for a reason. And as I said to you earlier, it's about marrying the artist up with the right venue.
Yes.
Now, in this beautiful country of ours, we only have a certain number of venues.
Mm.
Specifically in Queensland, we have many less venues than other states.
Yes.
But, so to get the right venue, you've got to book in advance. And so we find that we run things a minimum of 6 months in advance.
Right.
So, hence we're in June now and I'm already looking, I've already set up into 2017 already.
Wow. So you are very busy all the time.
Well, we're busy all the time and there's never a dull moment, as I said, but it is just constantly busy and, as you know personally, trying to get me at times, if it's not business related, is just nearly impossible.
Yes, so I'm very grateful for your time. So, you work in other states too? You set up tours in other venues in different states, or just solely out of Queensland?
Yeah, we can deal with them in other states.
You know, you go to a lot of people's websites, and it says this is what we're about, and they have the vision plan. But I was going to ask you what you said before. You know,
just
obviously
don't need
your
it.
Reputation and the list.
Pure reputation, and I'm glad you brought that up because over the years, a lot of people have said, I've only recently started a Facebook site, which...
Yes, Australia-wide, Q Live.
Q Live Australia-wide is the Facebook. But to be honest with you, and I predicted this, we've been going with that for 6 months now, it's not done one bit of difference to increase business to our... Business is about selling tickets, I'll say it again.
Yeah.
But it's not had one remarkable effect on increasing our sales by any means. Now... I'm a big believer in social media to be used for the right purposes, but selling tickets and making people aware, it's all about one thing, and that's a database. So you must have a person's name and you must have an email address so you can tell them what's coming.
Yeah,
that is gold.
Yes.
But Facebook is a peripheral supporter. We've worked with two different national companies now that have got their finger on the pulse with social media, and they both said it to us at the end. They both gone and said, "Rick, you were right. There is nothing." Essentially, Facebook makes people aware of things, but it doesn't make them buy a ticket.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's social. That's the issue. Well, it's not an issue. I'm just saying people need to remember social media is social.
Yes, that's right. It's not business particularly.
No, and, you know, if you can use it for business, fine. Some people make a business out of social media. Great. But it's still social. It doesn't directly. You can, you know, there's venues out there that have 10, 15,000 members on Facebook alone.
Yep.
People, put a thumbs up and say, yeah, I like that. Or, yeah, you know, that's great. Or they might share it, but they're not buying a ticket.
Yeah.
When a database is hit and people get an email in their inbox addressed to them saying, Go Blogs is playing this venue for this much money and it's on sale Monday. All of a sudden, people are going, geez, I better get there and buy a ticket because I really want to see that act.
Yes, exactly. And that's great marketing.
So, yeah, we've found that to be the case. But certainly, you know, but I find social media, I guess a good example is that if you need to postpone that event, doors might open a bit later or the doors might close a bit earlier or the performance time changes, then I find that Facebook and social media actually works because it's an information thing.
Yes, yeah. Especially when they can sort of get an answer if they go onto your page or whatever to get a query.
Right.
Of course, it can come onto phones for those people that are the coordinators or the host
That's
of
it.
The event.
Yeah.
So do you have financial brokers or how does it work so that you actually, without getting too personal here?
That's right. Let me just say, cash flow is our number one problem, and it always is because you've got to have money in advance to bankroll tours in terms of there's a lot of venue deposits to be paid. And then, you know, we have accounts with most of our marketing suppliers, but still, you know, if you're advertising an event that's 6 months away and you're advertising it only 3 months into after announcing the tour, you've still got to pay all those bills before you actually get paid.
Yes.
So cash flow is the number one issue as many businesses suffer, and credit cards can be our best friend or worst enemy.
Yes. So what do you think about the new lockdown laws that are coming in specifically for venues?
You know, lockdown laws don't actually really apply to the music business.
Okay.
I don't think they do.
You have quite big venues that work from, like, for big events.
Well, most of the venues that we work for, it's 7:30 p.m. or 7:30 doors, 8 o'clock show, it's all over by 10, 10:30.
Yeah, so that doesn't...
Now, if we're working in a later venue, like, a club or pub in the suburbs, you know, most of the artists are always finished now after 11 o'clock at night.
Mm.
So these lockdown laws don't have any effect on us at all, really. But, you know, I do feel for these venues that make their total income and trade from alcohol and foods, specifically alcohol sales, because that's certainly in a different world these days than it was only 10 years ago, let alone 20 or 30 years ago when we were young.
So can I just ask for yourself, do you ever have to, the artists that you have, because you have very big names listed on your website of all the artists that you handle, I suppose that's maybe not the best word, but do you have quite a personal relationship with just some of them or?
There's probably four or five of them that I have pretty good relationships with, meaning, you know, our job is to promote them, number one, look after them while they're here and look after them for anything they want in terms of, you know, if they want to go to see sightseeing or, you know, if one of them's sick or they want to go to the chemist or we do everything we can for them.
Yeah.
And then we shake their hands, give them a hug, and they hop back on the plane and go home. Now, generally we don't hear from them again until the next tour, and then it goes around again. We look after them again and all that.
Sure.
You know, I don't – in any business, I suppose, if you're dealing with a client, you just want to make sure the client's happy with the service you're providing so they come back and use you again.
Yeah,
hence what we do. But it's not been hard for me to develop some relationship with, you know, probably four or five artists that I've worked with now for probably most of them, you know, onwards of 10 years and on from there that I've worked with them and represented them here in Queensland. So you do get to know them.
Yes.
You do get to, you know, talk about things and you know, you find everything, you know, from their world has certainly been an advantage for me because I was first and foremost a musician living on the road and making a living from it. All those years ago. So that certainly, you know, put me in good stead, I think, to be on their level.
Yes.
And they, you know, appreciate and respect that from me. But also they appreciate and respect the fact that I've been on that side of the fence, but I also know this side of the fence where it's the side. So they're dealing with a musician. You know, the whole reason I started in this game was because I was working with my own artist, my own act, touring around Australia, but I was sick of getting ripped off. So I did a better job myself.
Yeah. And so you started.
They know that. Yeah. And they feel that. And, you know, so, you know, I had one particular artist. You know, I'm not a name dropper, so no. I'm never going to drop names, but one particular high-profile artist recently went, hey, you know, you're looking really good these days, Rick, da-da-da-da, and, you know, he said, what did you do? And I told him, did it. Oh, he said, if you try this, and before you know it, the guy's emailing me at night, sending me his ideas and what to do, and I've just gone, never in years will I think that person would be doing this to me, for me, you know what I mean? So they're human beings at the
end. Of course they are,
And they've all had to spend their lives in a spotlight, and today, more than ever, they're on watch 24/7 with the social media that's around.
And if they
look bad one day, or they might be upset like the rest of us do with our lives, but if they're upset or they don't treat, you know, they knock back an autograph, it's the end of the world and everyone's going to know about how much of a bad person they are because they didn't give that person an autograph, you know?
So there's
a lot of pressure on the artist these days, and that's certainly we've been woven into our business too, because, you know, we try and, when they work it for us, it's very discreet. Nobody knows where they are.
That's right, And that's fair, because they do want to have some privacy. I mean, they are, like you say, human beings. I mean, they put their pant legs on, you know, one leg at a time, just like the rest of us, you know. For those,
that's right.
Yeah, or maybe they don't wear skirts sometimes, but at least they wear pants.
Yeah, each to their own, I say, Mel. I never judge.
That's right. Okay, so have you got any special events coming up or that you...
Oh, look, I guess, you know, it's interesting. That's an interesting question, because to me it's never just been a job.
No.
Never. But you put things in context, this is what I do and this is what I do, you know, bloody 7 days a week.
Yeah.
But I might not think it's that special, but it's not certainly not belittling anybody that I'm working for. It's just that we work this all the time.
Sure.
So that what you and the general public might think is quite special, to me, it's just this is what I do.
Yeah.
You know? So have I got any special events coming up? Well, then my answer is everything you do is special.
Yes, of course it would be. Yeah. And I know you, so I know just how much you put your heart and
advantage.
Soul. Yes, I have, and I'm very blessed to know you.
So, only over your listeners. I'm not asking for any praise, but anyway, we won't record that.
No, you know I mean that, Rick. So
I know you do, Emma. I'm a good person.
So in the music industry, what would you like to see change or be brought back?
You know what, that's really good. It's not even being, okay, brought back and what would I like to see change? They're almost two in the same, but they're not.
Yes.
You know, people are forever trying to ascertain why, I'm 50, just over 50 now, so, you know, people in my age, what happened to the good old days of this? What happened to the good old days of that? Well, quite simply, when we were in our teens or early 20s, there was no such thing as a mobile phone. There was no internet. There was no Facebook.
Yes.
You know, you'd ring somebody in a landline. If you're driving in a car, nobody can phone you.
Yeah.
If you're out for the day, you're out for the day and no one's going to get you till you get back. So, you know, we had a tape deck in the car if we had a nice car.
Yeah.
So those sort of things need to be taken into context, that you can't possibly relate those times to today's times, because the youth of today have so many different options to do things with their spare time and their spare money.
Yes.
That music has become, well, music to me is an essential part of daily life. I think that you need music for every emotion that you've got. Is a song for you.
Yes.
And
when you can't express that in words.
That's right. And and music is, you know, people that love music know that a certain song can touch you in a certain way, and what a special gift that is.
It is.
Not only to receive, but certainly create. So that's, again, why we work with special artists, you know, that have been able to create work and a body of work that taps into people on the masses, and they can keep playing those songs as long as people are standing to listen to them.
And I'm sure that will
and that's
happen.
Why our demographic and our age group from that that wonderful time period, and we share the same as the people from the 70s and the 60s and even the late 50s, that we're all part of a great movement. There's no doubt that movement has changed.
Yep.
There's many different types and genres of music around now weren't there when we were younger.
Yes, that's right. All the sub-genres.
Some of them I don't class as music, but certainly some people do.
Yeah.
I guess I saw a TV special or something on a documentary recently about how now there's I think it was Joe Walsh from the Eagles. I saw something on YouTube. And he just said, when we were younger, he said, you write an album, write a song, write an album, produce it, it goes into a record shop, people come and buy it, they take it home and they play it.
That's right.
That doesn't happen anymore.
No.
And I guess the other thing is now, how can you class music when a machine is making it for you? And there's actually machines making melody lines up.
Yeah.
And I just think we've lost the vibe on what music was all about. People say there's a great sticker I've seen on cars: keep music manned, not canned. Drum machines were only ever invented to keep the pace going while people wrote a song over a drum track, so they could show the real drummer to go, now put your real feel.
Yeah.
It seems that, you know, technology has advanced so much now that drummers are being replaced, bass players are being replaced. You can't replace a vocalist and you can't replace a really good guitar player.
No.
But you can replace everybody else, and I just think that's terrible.
Yeah, it's a bit scary when you think about it.
You know, so what would I like to see change? More people going out and seeing live music.
Yeah, exactly.
We're only as good as the people seeing this and buying the product.
Yeah.
Without us, you know, a couple of artists I work with always say, and it sounds a bit used and a bit jaded and dated now, but, you know, without you, we're nothing. But it's so true.
It is.
We have no industry unless people go out and buy a ticket to see a show.
And
more
the
importantly,
thing is,
they've bought the album or they've listened to the song and they love the song, so therefore they'll go and buy the album. And in my day, I guess I'm an obsessive music type person, but I would buy an album, then a CD later on in life. I would spend, while the first few tracks are playing, I would be dissecting the liner notes on the album or the CD. I wanted to know everything. Who played what on every song? Who did that backing vocal? Who was the mix? Who was the front of house? Who was the engineer? Who was the producer?
Yeah.
Where was it mastered? Just obsessed by it all.
Yeah. I do that with films and music. I like to actually watch the after
scenes. I'm just as bad with films these days, thanks to modern technology. We can keep pausing things and going, oh, that's who did that. Or that. Especially soundtracks on movies. I'm very obsessed with them. And go, oh, I didn't know they did that or blah, blah, blah. And some great musicians from the 60s, 70s or 80s are now writing soundtracks of movies.
Yeah, exactly. It was funny. My son said to me the other day, I went around to watch a film with him, and he knows I'm really not into all of the films he likes to watch. He's got a very broad sense of, interests, I suppose, because he looks at it from a very overall point of view. He likes great direction, a great storyline, effects, different things. And he doesn't like anybody really talking or reacting to things, and he stopped the film.
Yeah, isn't it funny when you're watching Jaws?
We were watching Jaws, and the one fella just wanted to keep the beaches open when these people had clearly been killed by this great white.
Yeah, I remember the movie well. I've seen it 50 times. One of my favorites.
And I just thought, oh, guys like that just irk me. And so he stopped the movie and he said, listen, he said, you have to understand that this is a person playing a role. He said, you know, and he's drawing you in because that's the character he has to play. And he's engaged you in that. He said, movies today, everything is so fast. He said they skip over everything because they use a lot of special effects. But the old movies, he said they actually bring you slowly into the story. They develop the characters so you are already involved. So if some guy gets his head chopped off or he gets wounded in one of the newer films, you're like, oh, wow, that was disgusting. That's or true. Whatever. Very he said, true. But when it's somebody you know, because you've gotten to know that character, you're going, no, you can't do that. That's a bad guy. You know, he can't do that.
I know that totally.
And because the pace was very different. They knew how to build things up. And I think that's the same way with playing and creating music back in those eras. You know, everything was simpler. Yeah. The technology was different. It was just things just magically happened. You'd lay down a track and then something else would come out of that, or you'd bring somebody else and collaborate and you'd make this incredible music, or something new would be birthed out.
Let me say something that I read the other day, and it absolutely makes sense. It was a guy predicting the next 20 to 30 years of business and technology. He said, anything that you do and invent or work with or create in the future, if it hasn't got an app or related to a smartphone, don't even bother.
Wow. Yes, that's probably
And I guess
true.
When you think about it, it's absolutely true because, I have a mobile phone. I had my emails connected to it for ages and I thought, wow, isn't this great, until it drove me certifiably insane. And then I turned it, I went, no more emails to the phone. My staff looked at me and said, oh, boss, you cannot do that. You cannot. I said, watch me. So yeah. I disconnected it, and it's one of the best things I've ever done.
Yes.
So my phone I use for phone calls. I will Google things and use the sat nav on it, and all that, which is a wonderful tool. It's just amazing because, virtually now, sat navs and TomToms, they're almost a thing of the past now because it's all in your phone.
Yeah.
So,
it's the age of technology.
It goes to show you, at times I truly do feel outdated. Mm. I truly feel outdated, but the music I love and where I'm from will never be outdated to me.
No. But that's live.
And we come from an era that, I'm 50, and I know people who are in their 60s and 70s who are still actively going out and seeing music.
Yes.
My issue is, will the people of teenage in the 20s that exist today who have a disposable attitude towards most things because that's what they've been brought up with, and that's why I don't know if they're going to have the same blessing that we have right now, listening to those great songs that we have from our youth in our older, because they don't have them.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of throwaway singles or maybe some follow-up songs from some artists, but generally it's a fast-paced single world.
Mm. Well, it's
albums are becoming things of the past.
Yes, yeah. Well, even some of the artists in the industry, because things are streamed, now through iTunes or CD Baby. Lot of these artists are thinking, well,
Spotify, there's one I don't understand out about.
Yeah, Spotify.
I must say this, and people must get this. My daughter sat here, my 20-year-old daughter sat here 2 nights ago, Dad, I've got to get Spotify on your phone, and you can connect it through your Bluetooth, and everything can be played through the car and blah, blah, blah. So, oh, that's great. And she said, Spotify will give you every song, any song that you want, Spotify will have it.
Mm.
I went, everything. And she said, the lot, and it doesn't cost you anything. And I'm going, number one, I cringe when I hear that because there we go, songwriters and performers are not getting royalties again.
Yes, that's
right. But the second part of it was, I've got to prove this thing wrong. And today I proved it wrong. I asked one of my staff to go, you got Spotify? They went, yeah. I went, type in this song. Put it in there, went, Spotify has it. Anyway, but let's try YouTube. And I went, hang on a second. Spotify is supposed to give you every song you've ever recorded, isn't it? Yeah, not some of them. That's popular ones, boss, not what you want.
I think
and
that
I went,
used
well,
to be...
isn't that interesting? I said, because the song that I asked for was actually called Bad News by an actor called Moon Martin many years ago. And if people listen to that song, they go, I know that song. It was quite a popular song in the late 70s, early 80s. A big song, actually.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, that's true. That you can't recreate all of history. There are just some things that are special, and that's why we have to keep some of those old vinyls.
Wikipedia and Google are having a fair crack at it, though, I must admit.
Yeah, for sure.
So I hope this has given some people some insight into what we do and what it's all about. It's an absolute passion. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a way of life and a passion. It doesn't pay that well, I can assure you. Everyone thinks you're a music promoter. You know, on the left-hand side, you might have a win, but on the right, you'll have a loss.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. You win some, you lose some. It swings and roundabouts, straights and bends.
Yeah.
But, gee, I tell you what, someone even said to me a few months ago, Rick, you're virtually unemployable if you ever wanted to go and do something else. And I went, gee, I never thought of that, but, you know, maybe I might have to do that one day. I don't know, but, you know, I've certainly got a lot of knowledge in my head. I'm sure it'd be adaptable to something or somebody. Mm.
Yes, absolutely. I just want to say to you that in our music history class, we played a lot of stuff from the 50s right through to now, because we have to study how music was made, where the roots came from.
Yeah.
And a lot of the kids knew some of the stuff we grew up with because their parents listened to it and they were brought up, and that's what inspired them to become musicians. They are.
And you know what?
And
I was brought up the same way from a mum and dad that adored music.
Yeah.
So... you know, I was lucky to tap into music that came from the 40s and the 50s because it was played to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a very solid love of that music, but a great understanding of it too, which is really a good thing.
Yeah. So can you see yourself ever coming back to perform live?
I'm desperate to be honest with you.
Well, I think that's something you should do, because I think...
And it's something I really want to do, and I think, you know, it's all pointing towards that now, to be honest with you, so... I think I've got to do that.
Yeah.
So I want to do that. It's the whole reason I did this in the first place.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's always about coming back to the why you started, because we can lose sort of the vision.
That's exactly right, Mary Lou, and you're very good at this, you know, and why did you do this in the first place when people ask me, I was a musician? Oh, really? And that's how you got into it? And I go, yeah. And what, do you still play now? And I go, no, actually, I don't.
Mm.
And they look at me weird and go, why don't you?
Yeah.
And it's a bloody good point.
It is. But, you know, not only that, Rick, with your background, your knowledge, because you have seen, you know, some people walk around with blinders, but you have seen all aspects of this music industry. You've dealt with them.
I'm very blessed.
You've got a network, I'm sure, of people that you can just ring up and call, probably internationally as well. So to bring live music back into it, with somebody like you as one of the forerunners putting on some great shows, live shows, I think that would benefit. What would you say to musicians wanting to make it as artists? What would you suggest to them? You know, good management?
Stick to why you did it in the first place. Don't ever, change what you know is true to yourself.
Yep.
Stick to the path and stick together.
Yes.
If you stick together long enough, you will get it.
Yeah.
It's the ones, there's probably some amazing music we've all missed out on because bands haven't been able to stick together financially or emotionally or for whatever reason.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? That's the thing to do, and never, never waver from what you're about. Because, you know what, the best thing, and it's a really good way to end this, I must admit, the best thing I can say is, you know, I have this conversation with young people all the time, my kids and everybody, right? So I went, you know what, when we were younger and we were on the radio, listening to the radio, we would know who the artist is before the DJ told us at the end.
Yeah.
Because the artist was so distinctive. And every great act from that era, from the Stones, the Beatles, to Floyd, to Zeppelin, they all had a message to send.
Yes.
And they sent it in their music, and that's how their fans tapped into it.
Yeah.
That's why bands like Zeppelin and Floyd and stuff, their fans are diehard.
Yeah.
They will never leave them.
That's
fans.
True. That's very
that
true.
Cannot be said by the majority of artists today, because the pop acts, and I don't even want to mention their bloody names, some of them, but they're taken by mainly, you know, young teenage girls. And believe me, by the time they're usually 18 or 19 or 20, they've forgotten who
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a very, very important thing that I'm finding today is most of these artists that I'm listening to, whilst some of them are very good, they don't have that core running through them of that band is about this. This is what this band stands for.
Yeah.
And this is why they deliver the music that I love. That isn't around today. I can't see that much, sadly. Wow.
And, I mean, you've seen a lot.
It's bloody sad.
Yeah.
It's bloody sad. Because, and you know what? In actual fact, I don't truly believe that it's really their fault. It's just the way the world exists today and the way of music and creativity. These bands aren't allowed to, you know, when we were around, a band would have four or five albums, a body of work that was probably at least 15 to 20 hits.
Yeah.
Some that were, you know, lesser noted might have had 5 to 10 hits.
Mm.
Now, if you look at the artists of today, they're lucky to have 1 to 2 or maybe 3.
Yep, that's
and,
true.
And, you know, there's only exceptional artists, you know, Beyonce and these others that speak for themselves, they are incredible talents, but geez, they've got to fight hard for it too.
Yeah.
And there was someone trying to knock them off.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it, whether you have the ability to write, understand music, to be able to deliver it and play different instruments, or if they have production companies that kind of develop them and mold them.
You know? It's terrible.
Don't get into that.
Auto cue, yeah. Don't worry about singing flat there, mate. We'll pick that up in the mix. Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, what would happen if that was around when Bob Dylan was singing?
Yeah, well, you
know. What are we going to do? Mick Jagger?
Yeah.
You know, and take nothing away from these great entertainers and great performers and great songwriters. But, you know, when I heard it the other day, I was listening to an interview with a girl called Lita Ford.
Mm.
Now, as a young Lita Ford was a hot blonde guitar player, but she was actually in The Runaways with Joan Jett, Cherry Bomb and all that sort of hit. Lita Ford was one of the very first lead guitar players. Now, one thing that she said was, do you realise that in The Voice and American Idol and all these shows and X Factors and so forth, she said most of the great rock performers that we know today from history in the last 30 or 40 years, some living, some not, would not have even made it through the battle rounds or these things.
Yeah. Mm,
and she's absolutely right.
Yes. Yeah.
She is 100% right. They would have got smashed. So it's not just about how you can sing.
Mm.
It's the songs you're writing. And as I said before, it's the message that you have that you can tap into your fans.
Yeah, the psyche
that
of
makes
people.
You stand out from the rest.
Yeah.
And you never waver because your fans are the first people to go, that's not real, that's bullshit, so I don't want to turn it on. I rest my case when I say AC/DC, a no bullshit rock and roll band from Australian pubs has taken on the world because they never wavered. Bass, drums, vocals.
Amazing icon. Yeah. I mean, you think Australian rock and roll, you know, it's AC/DC. That's the first thing that'll come up on people's lips.
And how proud are we?
Yeah.
How lucky are we?
We are. And they get used to
it. There's a lot of Europeans I know, a lot of Americans say they wish that AC/DC was theirs, but they can't have them.
Nope.
They're ours. We, you know, they were born, the music and the brand of AC/DC was born here in Australia, even though a few of those guys are first generation Australians like myself and like many other people. But that band was born out of playing Australian venues, pubs and clubs and cut their teeth on the market, and that market was the toughest in the world.
Yes.
And if they smelt bullshit, they'd throw things at you.
Yeah, that's right. They're quite Australians know what they're like because they're a spirited people. They're honest and they're truthful and, you know, they like to cut to the chase and they can feel it in their bones, in their blood. It's just a very organic, I suppose, earthy thing. It's a place that's understood harshness.
It's so
and
bloody
oppression.
Sad, isn't it?
So it needs to come back.
Anyway, Mary
I still
Lou.
Pray for it. But yes, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for your time and your love and your appreciation of the music because without people like you, we're screwed.
Well, I'd love to be able to share this, so thank you so much. In three words, Rick, how would you describe yourself as a promoter, tour manager, musician? Three words.
Mm. lucky.
Yes.
Passionate.
Yeah. And true.
And true.
Yeah, I guess.
I
think you're right.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Rick, for your time. It's always a pleasure.
Mary Lou, it's a pleasure.
And that was Rick Szabo from Q Live Entertainment here in Queensland. He's the biggest Queensland promoter and within Australia as well. I hope you enjoyed listening. He had some great advice for musicians and anybody interested as an events manager or a promoter. And a lot of what Rick has done over the years, he started off as a musician in the mid-80s, but he then progressed as an agent, because he just, you know, that's just the way he went. He certainly had a lot of insight to offer. And he's now looked after some of the biggest names. If you go to his website at qlive.com.au, you will see a list of at least 100 artists, big names like Jimmy Barnes, Diesel, Kate Sobrano, the Whitlams. He's handled all those people, not handled, but he's looked after them, that is certain. You know, he's just one of the best people we have. We're very blessed to have him in our industry, so we keep getting some of these great live acts. So please support Australian music. I hope you all enjoyed that, and make sure you drive safe tonight or you take care of yourselves, and we'll catch you next time on Rated Oz Radio, and please do join us again. Thanks very much. Good night.